Well, as we've been talking about really all year long, about getting into our divine position where God wants us to be, there is coming a time, and I'll say this again, there's coming a time, and I believe that time is really upon us now, where God's people will have to learn how to live by faith. You're going to have to learn how to live by faith because things are not the same as they used to be. This world, the kingdoms of this world are being turned over to the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. And as we make this transition, things are not going to be the same. Things are not going to be the same. So, today I want to talk to you about warfare and how that all fits into the picture of what we've been talking about for the last several months. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace." And I'm going to tell you today, it's a time of war. Amen. It's a time of war. God's people need to know how to do warfare. And I'm going to show you what that warfare is. But, you know, as you see these things coming upon the earth and as we see what's going on, you got to make some changes. You got to make some changes for what you see that's coming. And one of the verses is in Luke 12:54. It says, "And he also said to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower, and so is it. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. Ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you cannot discern this time?" So this time that we're living in is a time when Jesus is about to appear on the earth. And it's a time when God is pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. There's no doubt of what God's intention is. He's getting His people ready to go home, but not only is He getting ready His people to go home, but He's getting ready to pour out His Spirit for one of the greatest awakenings that this earth has ever seen. The greatest spiritual awakening, and it has started now. It is now, and we have to be ready, and we have to be in position for this. There are different seasons for different times, and like I said, it is a time of war. This is a critical time to walk in victory. This is a critical time to walk in victory. This is one of the most critical times for the body of Christ. I've seen so many people fall off the edge. So many Christian people fall off the edge because they don't know how to stand and they don't know how to conduct warfare. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. He wants you to have victory. He wants you to have victory. Paul the Apostle gave some very specific instructions to Timothy on how to wage this warfare. And I want you to understand what this warfare is really all about. It's not against your neighbor. It's not against your employer. And here's what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18. "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith in a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck." And I'm going to tell you today what the warfare is, and that's holding faith and a good conscience toward God. Did you hear me? Let me say that again. The warfare is this: holding on to faith and a good conscience. That is the warfare. But some have put away that concerning faith, and they've made it shipwreck. Now in Jude it says this, in Jude 1:3 it says this: "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." The word "contend" here means that you should fight for the faith that has been entrusted to you. Did you hear that? It says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend." So that means you're supposed to fight for the faith that God has placed inside on the inside of you. Because every person, when they were born again, has been given a measure of faith. And as you study and as you read the Word, and as it gets down on the inside of you, that's the faith of God at work on the inside of you. And it says that we're supposed to fight this warfare holding on to that faith. Because some have erred and have shipwrecked the faith. And I'll give you an example of that. When my wife and I were first, we first met, we met in a denominational church. And there was something that they taught that they didn't believe. Really, they didn't believe the Bible. They didn't believe what salvation really was. And I'm talking about a large church. I'm talking about a few thousand people. They couldn't even tell you what salvation really was when you'd ask them. And I knew there was more to my relationship with the Lord than just a bunch of unbelief. And there was something that I put my finger on that I distinctly remember that saved me from that and put me at where I am today. It was the Word of God in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let me go to, and I'm going to read that to you. And I will never forget what God said to me, and I had the faith to believe. And I held on to the faith that God had given me, and He'd showed me, and He taught me about the Word, and I held on to that. And this covenant challenged my faith. I'm going to tell you there's things that are coming that will challenge your faith. It's in 2 Timothy 3:1. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." Are you telling me that that's in the church? And I'm going to tell you, yes, it is. It is in the church. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And I remember very distinctly the Holy Spirit gave me those verses. And He said, you know, they deny my power. And the moment I decided to follow God's Word and turn away from that, is when I got the victory. Because I held on to my faith that God had given me. I believed God. I believed His Word. And I took it at face value for what it said. And I remember that was a turning point in my life. And I held on to the faith. And I earnestly contended for it. I fought for it. Because they tried to shipwreck my faith. Even go as far as to tell me that I wasn't saved. And that I wasn't born again because I hadn't done certain things. But I knew that I had received Jesus Christ and I trusted in Him. And you know, that thing goes on, that goes on today. Today that goes on. And I'm going to tell you, there's a challenge to your faith. Every time you step outside of here, there's a challenge to your faith. When you step into the workplace, when you step into your neighborhood, when you step into your home, there is a challenge to your faith. And why is it that the enemy wants to challenge you on your faith? It's because he knows that if he can steal your faith, then he can steal your victory. Because the Bible says this. The Bible says in 1 John 5:4, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That's why it's important to fight and to have warfare and to hold on to the faith that was once delivered. Because, let me say it again, without faith, he stole your victory. Without faith, he stole your victory. You have no victory if he steals your faith. Now, the warfare is this: holding faith and a good conscience. And Satan wants to take your faith because he wants to have you feel, listen to me, he wants to have you feel that there's no way out. He wants to make the situation hopeless for you. That's why he wants your faith, and your victory is on the inside of you. Your victory is on the inside of you. Now, you think God prepares us? You think God prepares us, and I believe God prepares us. In Psalm 18, verse 32, it says, "It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon high places. He teaches my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms." I love that. He's the one that teaches me how to war. He's the one that teaches me how to do this. Now, I want to show you here now, and I want you to show what this warfare looks like. I don't think a lot of people really understand what the warfare really looks like. Because I encounter a lot of people, and they say, "Well, you know, so-and-so said this to me, and so-and-so said that." And they get caught up in this of what he said, she said type deal, and it defeats them every single time. So let's take a look at what this warfare really looks like and how it affects your faith. In Jude 1:4, it looks like this: "For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, and godly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." The warfare looks like this. The warfare looks like this. The warfare looks like anything that doesn't match up with the Word of God. That's the warfare. That's the warfare. It's anything that doesn't line up with the Word of God. Anything or anyone that tries to steal the Word out of your heart. That's the warfare. Now, how do I hold on and fight the good fight of faith? Paul said this: "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life." And I'll tell you, the Bible is very simple. How do I do this? And how many of you remember what I preached on 2 weeks ago? Proverbs chapter 4. So, here's how you fight. Here's how Paul fought. He said, "I believe God and I serve God and I belong to God." That's what he said. That was his confession. That's how he fought the good fight of faith. So let's go over this. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from my eyes, keep them in the middle of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh." What a promise. What a promise. He said, put them in the middle of your heart. Now, if this was the Word of God right here in my hand, he said, put it in the middle of your heart. Is it easy to take this away from me? How easy would this be to take away from me if I held this out here? Pretty easy, maybe. Not for you guys, it wouldn't be. Not for you, Luke. But how about if I put it here, right in the center of my body? It'd be a lot harder to take away from me, wouldn't it? But that's what the Word says. to put it in the middle, not on the peripheral parts of our heart, but he says to put it in the middle of our heart. And I'm going to tell you why a lot of people get defeated. You know why? The word's out here. It's on the peripheral part of the heart. It's not down right here in the middle of the heart. It's not there. And then the Bible gives us instruction, as I taught on before, on how to get it in the middle of our heart. It gives us instruction and says, those that find them. Those that find them. God is telling us that there is a way to receive what God is offering. And you know, I looked at this and I thought to myself, when all the time I encounter, a lot of times I encounter a lot of unbelief. And I don't understand why people don't want to have victory. I don't understand why they don't want to have the good things of God. I don't understand why they don't want healing. And they'll argue with you. That's not of God. Right. I don't understand that. But you know, I think that's a stiff neck. That's a stiff neck. Why wouldn't you want the good things of God? Why would you want to continue and be miserable and not have victory? But God says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. My son, I belong to God. My son, he's talking to me. And some people tell me, well, God doesn't ever speak to me. I never hear God speak to me. Well, he just did. If you read that, he just spoke to you. The Holy Ghost just spoke to you. My son, attend to my words. Now, if this isn't done correctly, there's no benefit. The results are life and health. The results are life and health. I enjoy life. I love life. God is offering to you today life and health. I mean, think of that offer. I'll take it. Man, I will take it. I will run you over and get there first. I will take it. I'll bet I can run faster than you. I will take it. Now, the key to biblical hearing or healing is hearing. Let's look at this. Attend to my words. And you know I talked about this 2 weeks ago. But you know what? I think there's too many times we forget what God is trying to say to us and get down into us. You know, we're looking to prepare for this time for the great outpouring of God's Spirit. You know, it was in Hebrews 11:7, I think Pastor David mentioned it last week, that Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his family because he was moved by what he saw. And I am moved very much by what I'm seeing around me. I am moved very much to get this down in my heart, to get the results that God wants in my life. So he says here, attend to my words. It requires one's undivided attention. It means to pay attention, to commit oneself, to give thought and care to. So it means pay attention. How many times have I heard God say something to me and I not really put it off to the side and not paid attention to it? You know, I've gone back at times where I've sensed that I wasn't getting any answers to my prayers. And I asked the Lord, why am I not getting any answers to my prayers? And he said, because you haven't paid attention to what I told you in the past. And you need to go back and do what I told you to do. But it requires you to pay attention. And then I had these signs here. Because a lot of times when we get in God's Word, we're just thinking of other things. Other things will come into our minds. But you know what? That really does not honor God. That does not honor God. Those things that come into our mind doesn't honor God. I like this one. Oh, and I want to bring your attention to that sign back there. There's someone thinking that. I wonder when we will get out. But how many times have you spent time with God and you're not paying attention? Really, you say, I'm going to spend time with God, but not paying attention to what He's trying to tell you. To get you in the place where He needs you to be. The key to biblical healing is hearing. I believe that because they came to hear and be healed. I've seen so many people come to get healed, but they don't want to hear. Mark 4:23 says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Take heed what you hear, with what measure you measure, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that has not, from him shall be taken even that he has. So it does matter what you hear and how you hear it. I said it matters to what you hear and how you hear it. Now this is the warfare. I'm telling you, this is a warfare here that's going on. If you can't discipline yourself to listen to God and to pay attention to what He's saying to you, you're going to lose the war. You're going to lose the war if you can't pay attention. If your mind's diverted off on other things, you're not going to win. You know, one of the things is I love to win. I love to win. I don't know how many people like to lose. Does anyone like to lose? I like to win. And God is telling you here exactly how to fight the warfare and how to win. He's telling you how to get life and how to have health. In Exodus 15:26, and He said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. The promises are all over the Bible. Healing, prosperity, health, it's all there. Victory, it's there. In Luke 5:15, I mentioned this before, and it says, but so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. They came to hear and be healed. And then we just sang that song, it's beginning to rain. But there's been famine in the land. Because God's people, some of God's people's not hearing what He's saying. And in Amos 8:11 it says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And that famine comes as a result of people wanting to do their own thing. And people will do their own thing when they don't listen to the voice of the Lord. Why is there so much confusion? Why is there so much confusion in a believer's life? It's because they're trying to listen to one ear while they're trying to listen to something else. And that causes confusion. Jesus gave us 2 ears for a purpose. To listen with both of them. Right? It was a purpose for 2 years. To listen with both of them. It matters, like I said, what we give attention to, and it matters what we hear or how we hear it. And I believe I mentioned last time that the product of your life today is a result of what you saw and what you heard and what you let get down in the middle of your heart, because out of the heart comes the issues of life. Right? Then He says, bend your ear and incline your ear. And this is something that the Lord showed me, that when you incline your ear, you have to bend and you have to listen. It is a sign of humility. It is a sign of humility. God did something with Moses because Moses was what? The most humble man upon the whole earth. The Bible says in James 1:19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." So we're to be swift to hear. You know, I think of warfare as getting out there and getting a baseball bat or something and beating something up with it. But that's not warfare. Warfare is being able to listen to what God's saying. Warfare is being able to submit to God and say, "Lord, I believe that. That's true. I believe that, Lord. I submit to that, Father." That's warfare. There's always something that wants to put a sound in your ear. Something else always wants to put something in your ear. Something else to divert your attention. We must be willing to hear and change any and all preconceived ideas and attitudes. In Jeremiah 17:23 it says, "But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but they made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction." It wasn't God that made their neck stiff. It said they made their neck stiff. And then the Bible says, "Let them not depart from your eyes." In Luke 11:34 it says, "The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness." When your eye is single, it is focused. You're not looking in different directions. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:25, "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee." When your eye is focused on God's Word, it's full of light. Now, let me show you something here. This is a real key here. What I do is I keep my eyes focused on what God's Word promises me. It says, when your eye is single, it is full of light. When your eye is focused on God's Word, your body is full of light. And I'm going to tell you something. Here's how you walk in divine health. When your eye is single, it is focused on God's Word, the Bible says your body is full of light. Your body is full of light. In Psalm 91, it says that the plague dwells in darkness. No sickness can dwell in your body if your body is full of light. Let me say that again. No sickness or disease can dwell inside your body if your body is full of light. That's why he promises that in Proverbs. It says life and health. Life and health. Health to all your flesh, because your eye is single. In Psalm 91:6, it says, "Nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness." Where is the disease at? It's in darkness. Where's the health at? It's in light. Divine health is in the light. Do y'all see that? So if you need something for your body, if you need more life, if you want to get more enjoyment out of life, where does your eye have to be? Focused on God's Word. It has to be focused on God's Word. And I'm going to tell you something. This is not an easy thing. I find the instructions so simple, but it seems like it evades people. Because it takes discipline, and there is a war out there, really, going on to keep you from being single-minded and focused on God's Word. And as time goes on, I'm going to tell you something. As time goes on, and as the world's economies and everything and everything around us starts collapsing, it's going to be harder and harder for people to stay focused on God's Word, because they're going to be looking at what's going on. That's why now it would be good if you prepare yourself for this battle that's taking place. You don't wait till you get sick and then you start studying about God's healing power. Keep them in the middle of your heart. God's word is a priority. And he says in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, in order for it to get into this middle part, you have to do those things. You have to give attention. You have to hear God's word, and you have to see the things of God. You know, I'm going to tell you this. If you can take these simple three verses in Proverbs chapter 4, and you can do what Paul did in Acts 27, you can have victory. You can have victory.
You know, a week or so ago, I was, you know, this time of changing weather and everything, and you start to feel like you're coming down with something. Well, I took what he taught on, and I said, I belong to God, and because of that, I have his covenant of healing. I believe God's word that says I am healed. I serve God because I am well and whole to do what God wants me to do. Amen. And I just kept saying that. I wrote it down, and I started speaking that and declaring that. And you know, and then I started praising him and thanking him and rejoicing in that. And the more I said it, like he said, the more you say it, the more you just want to rejoice. Because his word is getting down in you, and you're beginning to, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. You're hearing that, it's building your faith up to receive that. And so I just kept saying, I belong to God, and because I belong to God, I belong to his covenant of healing. I believe God's word that says I'm healed by the stripes that Jesus bore for me. And I serve God because I'm whole. I'm well, and I can do what he tells me to do because I am not sick and in bed or doing whatever. Do you see what I'm saying? So take that. Take that to heart and do it. As a Nike commercial says, just do it. You'll rejoice in it, believe me, because it makes you lighter. It brings that light into your body and into your mind. And it causes you to rejoice.
You know, I'm really surprised that, you know, word of faith people, we say, well, okay, I'm a word of faith person. We go and we hear the word of God, but we just somehow fail to do it. And that was such a great message. I've been guilty of that. That was a great message. But you fail to do it. And then you go and you take your vitamins and everything. There's nothing wrong with vitamins, and you know, and I believe in taking good supplements and like that. But there's times when it's like you got to get the word, and you got to start using it, yes. And you got to start saying, God, you know what? This is the only thing I have left. When I look at that, when I look at life and health, when I look at that promise, I say to myself, that is the only thing out there for me. I don't have anything else that I can depend on. I've got God's word and I got his promises. Yes. That's my first choice. That's my only choice. That's my only choice. I've got God's promises there. And I'll tell you, when you get that down on the inside of you, there is a joy that will rise up on the inside of you. Amen. And a happiness. And everything, the grass all of a sudden looks a lot greener. And I'll tell you what, the flowers look so much better. And the people I'm around, they're so much nicer. Come on, I'm going to tell you something. When you start actually doing it, and it becomes, your job becomes so much better. Because you can actually take the word of God and say, you know what, God, here's your promise, and here's the warfare that I have to fight. I have to fight against these thoughts that are contrary to your word. I have to endure hardness as a good soldier. And a soldier knows how to fight the battle. How would you like to go into battle with someone that didn't know how to use their gun? You'd be in trouble. You'd be in trouble. But the Bible says endure hardness as a good soldier. We're supposed to know these things. We're not only know them, but we're supposed to put them into practice. Come on, there's a warfare out there that's trying to attack and steal your faith from you. And I see many, many instances of things that steal people's faith. And that's why there's no victory. That's why there's no power in the church today. And it's not just the preacher having victory. You know what it's depending on? It's depending on all of us to have victory. God wants us to all have victory. So we're going to go home with this. We're going to go home and we're going to have victory. Because you know what? When I came in here today, I was believing to receive something from God. I was believing to receive how to fight the good fight of faith. And that's what I'm going to leave with. Because I got what I came in believing for. So how many are going to fight the good fight of faith? I'm going to do this. God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith.
There's just something else stirring in me here. And somebody needs to hear this. You get up every morning and you got to go to work or go do something that it's just not where you think God wants you. You know? But you belong to God. And you serve God, right? So you believe God. I serve God, and today, here's your mindset needs to be. I serve God, and He's got an assignment for me today. You know, you may be looking at your job and going, Lord, I don't even want to be here. Why am I here? You know? But if you look at it every day, it's your assignment. And you ask God, okay, what's my assignment today, where I'm at today? Don't think that you should be off doing something else. Yeah, God's given you a vision for something that you feel is greater and a greater anointing on it and everything. But today, God's given you an assignment. And you walk in that assignment. And you do it because you serve God with all your heart. Amen? Amen.
And you, if you do that, you can do that greater vision later with a greater anointing. So if you can't serve them here, you'll never serve them out there. Right? Amen. So we're doers of the word, aren't we? Yes. We're doers of the word. We're going to take the word of God and we're going to do it. And we're going to fight the good fight of faith. And there's a warfare going on. But it's not going to stop you. Amen? So, how many are thirsty? Man, I'll tell you what, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. But you know what? I can receive the rain just by simply doing that, what I just taught on. I can ask God for the rain by faith. The rain of the Holy Ghost to come down on me. So, Father, we just thank you for today, and we thank you, Father, for your goodness, and we thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Father, you saw all the hands that were thirsty and wanting, Father, I just sensed more of you as we were singing that song. Lord, you will fill, and you promised to fill the hungry heart, the thirsty person, Father, because your word says, out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living water. Father, by faith, we believe what you said, that you would pour out your Spirit upon all flesh. Lord, we thank you that right now we receive just a greater portion of your Holy Spirit. Just rain on us, Father, all this week. your holy presence, Lord. We thank you and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.